Let's start. Keep your Bibles active this morning. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures, but let's start in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, Proverbs chapter 22. You might want to, if you have a little bookmarker, put that in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be coming back there in a minute and looking at a number of verses in the book. We're going to do a word study this morning. I enjoy word studies and looking at words, tracing them through God's Word, and learning the importance of and the emphasis that God puts on things in our lives. And that word this morning that we're going to look at is diligence. Diligence. The importance of diligence. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Diligent. The importance of diligence. And what happens when we are not diligent? Attentiveness to detail. I had worked on a different message for this morning. Something had happened this week, and I just thought that was important to bring to you. And then this materialized and did a study on this. I pray it'll be a help to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we trace this word through your word and we learn the importance of it, and a lot of things going on in our world right now, things coming across my desk that are just vital to our understanding and our living, not just the Christian life, but life period, interacting with others, with our families, with our loved ones, with our business partners, with strangers on the street. And this is just one of those words that cries out for our attention. May we be attentive this morning and speak to our hearts. Father, for that person who has not diligently sought your salvation, may they be convinced of their need and come to you in repentance and faith, seeking your face. And we'll thank you for what you do this morning. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I start a word study, I typically, one of my first sources to go to is Webster's 1828 Dictionary. And you can go out and buy one. It's a huge book. You can get it online. You can go to the online version of it, and you can find those words. But both those resources are, you want to pay the money and have a book, you can. If you want to go online and look up words, and they give them the 1828, they give them then their grammatical, historical significance. And Webster's 1828 says, "Of diligence, it is a study to be steady in the application of business." Now, you hear that, and you would think, well, I'm not a businessman. What is your business? Maybe your business is being a husband or being a wife, or maybe your business is being a child in a home or a student in school. Everyone has business, and don't think of it as commerce business. Think of it as what you are involved in life. Steady in your responsibilities of life. Study in the application of business. In school, if you're going to be a student, Webster's 1828 Dictionary, you should be constant in your effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaking. So if your business is, you're at home, you're not working, you're not a student, but you're at home and your business is cleaning your room, you ought to be steady in the application of cleaning to accomplish what is undertaking. You should come to a conclusion. Do you know some people that just never start? They're going to study someday. They're going to go to college someday. They're going to get a job someday. They're going to be obedient to their parents someday. They're going to plan for retirement someday, just not today. That is a person who is not diligent. But Proverbs 22:29, seeth thou a man diligent in his business? He's going places. He's going to stand before kings. You see a person who is not diligent in his business, he's not going places. He's not going places. Assiduous, attentive, industrious, not idle, or negligent, applied to persons. In the legal profession, they would use the word, they would add a word to it. They would use the phrase due diligence. And that is an interesting word. Due diligence is the investigation or exercise of care that a reasonable business or person is normally expected to take before entering into an agreement. So it's a legal term that says if you are a boss and you are going to enter into a contract or you're going to hire somebody or you're going to purchase a product or make a purchase, it would behoove you to exercise due diligence, to look at it, to think about it, to consider it before entering into that agreement. Say, preacher, well, how is that important to me? I'm not a businessman, but listen, when you go down to the car dealership, you're going to buy an automobile, and it would behoove you to exercise due diligence to make sure that purchase is going to be a good one before you sign on the dotted line and you walk out of there. Ms. Bishop and I were talking about a friend of ours, and they bought an automobile, and they paid, I don't know, $30,000, $20,000, spent a lot of money for it. It's a relatively new car. And after they bought it, it's been in the shop. Now, they still have to make the payments because they signed their name. But if they had looked, they would have seen that red flags, this has a problem. There's been recalls now. The manufacturer has the car, but they're making the payments. They don't have it. Why? Because there was a problem, and they didn't know about it. But there you go. It would be good if you're buying a used car to exercise due diligence. You go get a mechanic and say, hey, I'm not a mechanic. I don't know cars, but you do. Could you look over this? And they'll look it over and they'll do the research and look to see if they got problems or recalls or things going on or if the motor is bad. There are some cars out there that you can pretty much set a clock by them. Their motor is good till about 75,000 miles and then it needs a major overhaul. It's blowing things and things are going bad. And that's on the internet. I mean, it's easy. I should say it's simple to exercise due diligence. We just have a tendency not to do that. And then we're stuck with a car that we can't drive. We still got to make payments. It involves reasonable steps taken to avoid committing a tort or an offense. Now, after the introduction, I wrote in my, this is what I wrote in my notes. You look hypnotized. You are getting very sleepy. You say, oh man, this is not just one of those topics. Oh, diligence. Oh, the diligent people will stand before kings. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Now keep your finger here in Proverbs. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Who's supposed to be diligent? This is the first occurrence Again, this is another great method of Bible study. When you're looking at a word or a concept, go to the place where it's first mentioned in God's Word. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from you. So this, the first instance of diligence in God's Word, Deuteronomy, it is a specific to a judge, to the judges of the land, that if a witness came before them, the judge shouldn't just say, "Are you telling the truth?" "Oh, sure, Your Honor, I'm telling the truth." Okay. That the judge should listen to the witness and should say, "Let me ask you a few questions." Now, typically, the prosecutor asks questions and the defense attorney asks questions. But when you're in court and the judge starts asking you questions, and the judge should make diligent inquisition. If he thinks you're lying, then he should ask you some questions. Why? Because somebody's life, somebody's future, somebody's legal, the legal decision that he is going to make or the jury is going to make depends on the veracity, the truthfulness of that witness. And if the judge detects that this person is lying, "I'd like to ask you a few questions." "Are you telling the truth?" Versus diligent inquisition, noting the irregularities in a testimony and saying, "That doesn't sound right to me. I hear what you're saying, but that doesn't make sense to the common man." Diligent inquisition. What is the danger of not saying, "Well, I'm not a judge"? A wise man judgeth all things. You may not be sitting on a physical bench, but again, you're the person that's in the car dealership buying the car. And you're the person that is in the grocery store looking at two different cake mixes. Which one should I buy? You're the one that has to judge whether it's a good purchase or a bad purchase. You're the one that's sitting in the car that is approaching the traffic light that has just switched to yellow, which tells you it's going to switch to red, and you have to make that split-second decision whether you're going to run it or stop. You're the one that's in traffic on Telegraph Road. Now, I don't know what plate they had on the car. It was Thursday night, about 7:45, just before 8 o'clock. I just left my last visit for the day. I was on my way home. I was over in Virginia Hills. I'd come down to Telegraph Road. 8 o'clock at night, shouldn't be a lot of traffic. But I looked to my left, and there was traffic coming, and I had to make the decision to pull out. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to wait. I'm 5 minutes from home. It's not a big deal. They look like they're coming a little bit faster than 35 miles an hour. I had to make a split-second decision whether to pull out and make that left-hand turn and go home or to sit there and wait. And in that split second, I judged and said, "I'm going to sit here and wait." And there were... what was going on at 8 o'clock? It's like, I don't know, maybe the McDonald's closed and 100 people had to leave. There were like 25 cars that came by. What was interesting, Telegraph Road there is one lane southbound and one lane northbound, which means northbound traffic should be on the right side of the road as I was as coming towards me this way. And northbound traffic should have been coming. I'm trying to think where Telegraph Road is. It was right over here, so they should have been coming this way, and southbound should have been on the right hand side going that way. And then I realized that about 10 cars back, there was a car on the wrong side of the double yellow line, passing all the cars that were going northbound. And if I had pulled out, I would not be here this morning. I'd be dead. So, preacher, what's the matter? What's the importance of diligence? And the importance of diligence is for you to protect yourself from somebody who's not diligent. That guy was not diligent. He saw the traffic. He saw the double yellow line. And I'll tell you, they weren't going 20 miles an hour. And they were going at a good clip. They weren't going 35, which is the speed limit. They were probably going 40, 45 miles an hour. They were moving along. They were coming at me at a pretty good pace. But that guy, in the 35 mile an hour zone, he must have been going 90 miles an hour as he passed 20, 25 cars on the wrong side of the road. He's not going to stand before kings. He's going to stand before the preacher, preaching his funeral. You just don't start out making those kind of decisions. Where is it? Run a little light. Just get accustomed to being in a hurry. Just what diligent in the little things of life. Not just for judges, certainly for judges, and judges should be diligent. Look at Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 64. Book of Psalms. Job's Psalms 64, verse 6. Let's look at verse 5. They encourage themselves. Let's go to verse 4. They that may, we're in Psalm 64, verse 4. They may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep. Now this psalm is talking about the guy who is looking to destroy you. He's looking for dirt on you. He's looking to wreck your life. He makes diligent search. He looks under every rock. He'll look at your Facebook posts. He'll look at your internet searches. I mean, he's going to look everywhere just trying to find some dirt on you because he hates you and he wants to wreck you. If the wicked will do diligent search, we should, as righteous people, we absolutely should. Look with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 6. The psalmist saying, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Where is that? In the night. In the nighttime. The wicked do it regularly, but there is a need for us as believers, as followers of God, to make a diligent search of our heart. Nighttime's a great time to do that. Am I right with God? Proverbs has a lot of wisdom. So let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at a half dozen references in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 10. And we'll go in order, starting at Proverbs chapter 10. And just look at a number of verses that mention the importance and need for diligence. For us to be diligent. Judges should do it, absolutely, first mention. Every one of us should do it. There is a need for it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 24, Proverbs 12, 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful man shall be under tribute. When my children were growing up, I taught them to be diligent, to be diligent in their business. They had a lawn business, they had school, they played sports, they had to study, and we stress the importance of diligence. Being there, being on time, doing the right thing at the right time. And I said to them growing up, if you will learn to be diligent, if you'll learn to show up on time, give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, and you're going to go places in the workplace. And they're like, just showing up on time? Yeah, you'd be surprised at the people that don't show up on time. And it's time to find them for work and they're missing. So my kids, they graduated from high school, they went off to college, and they had the money from their lawn business that they paid for their way through school. You say, you didn't pay for the way through school? No, I did not. They paid their own way through school. And they're diligent as teenagers. But they wanted to, they were used to working, and so they, while they were at school, they had jobs there on campus. And I remember two of my kids, they were in the dining hall, and they said, Dad, my boss thinks I'm the best. I said, what are you doing? Showing up? Working? I said, what are the other kids doing? They said, Dad, you wouldn't believe it. It's work time, and they're missing. I mean, there's a lot of people coming to the dining hall, and we're supposed to be serving them, and the person's not there. I said, where are they? They said, well, we made diligent search for them. We found them in the bathroom, standing on top of the commode, playing on their phone. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You want to be a boss, you want to be a leader, you want to be a supervisor, you want to get promoted, then you better work on diligence. The slothful, they're always going to be under a boss because they need somebody to tell them to show up, to get to work, to put the phone down, to put your phone away, to stop the foolishness and get to work. We're in Proverbs chapter 12. Let's go to Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. I'm hungry. You went out hunting, you got the thing, but I didn't feel like processing it. You leave it sit there long enough, it's going to go bad. You're not going to be able to eat it. And so he's hungry. Why is he hungry? Because he was not diligent. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Say, preacher, why do you work? I kind of like eating. Kind of like that. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Don't raise your hand, but you know somebody, they shop till they drop. They've got to go do some retail therapy, and as a result, their closets are full, their garage is full, their storage units are full. But when it comes time for retirement, they're going to have nothing. Why is it? Because they were not diligent in their business. They tend only to want. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 is where we started. See if thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He's going to get promoted. Then Proverbs chapter 27, verse 33. That can't be right, but that's what I've got. verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Now, what's going on in your flock? What's going on in your home? What's going on with your children? What's going on with your life? We do a lot of time on Facebook looking what's going on in everybody else's flock. But what is going on in your home that needs to be attentive to? David got into trouble with that. David's son Absalom had a problem. David was the king. He was diligent in many areas, but when it came to Absalom, he was not diligent. And he should have been taking care of a problem, and he didn't. As a result, Absalom did a coup on the throne. David could have dealt with that, but David was not diligent. He was diligent in other people's business. When it came to Bathsheba, he had Uriah killed. But when the prophet came to them and gave him the same scenario, David gave the right judgment. And then the prophet looked at David and pointed his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man. You're the one." Oof. He knew what to do and he knew how to do it, but he didn't practice that own diligence in his own life. Do you know somebody that knows what everybody else should be doing, but they don't do it themselves? They don't practice themselves. They're always going to be under tribute. They're always going to have to be under somebody. Unless you can learn to control your spirit and make right decisions. Slack hands, slothful, lazy, unproductive, unsuccessful, wasteful spenders, lots of stuff. People come to me for money. I'm pastor. They think the pastor's got all the money. I just say to them, "Do I look like a man whose wife would trust him with money?" And everybody always says, "No, no." I walk out into the parking lot with them. And they're driving a 2026 Lamborghini, asking me for money. Say, preacher, people really don't do that. Oh, yeah, you'd be surprised at the nice cars that drive in here asking for money. Asking me to make a car payment for them. This is what I say. You've got a Jaguar. Guy wanted money to help with his Jaguar payment. I said, "So you want church help you with your payment?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Well, the church would be delighted to do that. Can I have the keys?" He said, "What do you mean if you have the keys?" I just tell you. I said, "Our church people that give to this fund, they don't drive Jaguars. But they really like to. And I'll tell you what, if they're going to make the payment this month, our church people are going to want to drive this." And the guy just looked at me like, "I'm nuts." Yeah, I am. I am crazy a little bit. I don't drive a Jaguar. But he does, and he is in want. "Wherefore, beloved," 2 Peter chapter 3 says, verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." What is that? There are some people that just never get around to talking about salvation. They can't be bothered. It's not the time until they die. But then that it's too late. Yesterday, I did some hospital visits, and I was walking through a waiting area, and the TV was on. And I've got this, and this is the message for this morning is on my heart, and I'm going over the verses and the outline in my mind. And I walked by, and I heard a voice. It was a voice of a judge. It was Judge Judy. I mean, you know who Judge Judy is. And she was on the stand, and she was asking questions. You know anything about Judge Judy? You know, she asked the questions. And I stopped because she didn't believe the person who was testifying. What was she doing? She was making diligent inquisition of that person. And I just stopped. It was just so funny because we're talking about this morning. And here's a judge, and it was quite obvious from the line of her questions that she did not believe the person who was testifying on the stand, and she was going to rule against them. And I just stopped and thought, wow, if only we would do that in our studies, with our classes in school, with our verse memorization in Sunday school, with our attention to detail in the home, with our driving, staying on the right-hand side of the road, not going over the double yellow line, putting things down, paying attention, not running those lights. If only we'd be diligent in our driving, we wouldn't get tickets. We'd be diligent in our finances. We'd be a whole lot better off. We'd be diligent in cleaning our room. You go into the military, you go into the Marine Corps, what do? They teach you to make your bed. It's like, oh, there's got to be something more important than making your bed. Yeah, they're teaching you diligence. You get up in the morning, make your bed, and just start making diligent decisions all day long. You're going to be better. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 9. We're just all over the Bible this morning. In Joshua chapter 9, there is a danger of not exercising diligence. In Joshua chapter 9, we have Joshua. Joshua has been successful on battle. He's the ruler of a big nation, Israel. He's got an army. They have already been successful in Jericho, and they had a little defeat in Ai, but they've recovered from that. And now they're moving through the land, taking the possession. People in the land are afraid. In Joshua chapter 9, came to pass when all the kings were on this side of Jordan in the hills and valley and the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Man, a lot of people going on here. They gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. There was a group, verse 3. The inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai. They did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. They went up to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him, to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But it's up to Joshua to make diligent inquiry. He's going to ask some questions, but he's not going to be diligent in his inquisition. Verse 8, they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you? Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country. What didn't they tell him? What country? Maybe they didn't expect any questions. Why? Because they put old clothes on their feet, old wine in the body, they put old moldy bread in their sacks. They're presenting something that is false. Judge Judy would have had some questions for them. Joshua didn't have questions. I get a couple. Who are you? Where are you from? They said, from a very far country. Verse 12. This bread we took for our provision, we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came to go unto you. But now it's moldy. Liar. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. Lie. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel. The previous phrase, the garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Lie after lie after lie. But it's up to Joshua to make diligent search, and he didn't. Notice what it says. Verse 14, they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't take time to pray about it. Joshua made peace with them, made a league with them. Now he's made a legal binding agreement. And then you know what he finds out? They were lying. They say, well, I shouldn't be held responsible because our agreement was made based on a lie. Now, you are absolutely responsible because it is up to you and up to I to make diligent search, to make diligent inquisition, to judge whether it be right and whether it be true. It's up to us to do that. They made a legally binding agreement. It was this Wednesday night, we're in teachers' meeting before the Wednesday night service, and we're talking about taking Bible truth and getting the students, that would be you, because I'm a teacher, right? Getting you to personally apply it. Well, here's the danger in Bible truth. You sit here on a Sunday morning and you think, well, that's good for judges. That's good for the pastor. It's good for the deacons. It's good for the generals and the colonels. But I'm just a private. And we dismiss with a broad stroke Bible truth and say, this doesn't apply to me. We fail to see, I'm a student, I should be diligent. I'm a child, I should be diligent in my home. I'm an employee, I should be diligent in the workplace. I'm a driver, I should be diligent behind the wheel. And that's the danger of illustration. You think, well, I don't drive over the yellow line, I don't have to worry about it. But then we do the Texas roll through the stop sign. Mr. Frank, I think about this yesterday. When I leave out of the church parking lot, I come to a complete stop. Why? Because it's the law. But I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm going out of the church lot. There's nobody coming anyway. And I come to the end and I stop. Mr. Rowland used to say to my kids, because I have a tendency to think that they weren't very diligent when they left the church parking lot. Mr. Rowland would say, you want to know, Mr. Rowland's in heaven, Frank's older brother. He would say, do you want to track the girls? You know, my son, he's 16, right? What guy doesn't want to track girls? 16-year-old. Oh, yeah. He said, oh, you want the girls really fine to be sexy? Yeah, that's what he said. And they would go, what? He said, that drivers that come to a complete stop at the end of the church parking lot. And so David come to me and he's telling me this. You know what Mr. Rowland said to me today? I said, what did Mr. Rowland say? So he's recounting the conversation. I'm going, what? And he said, come to a complete stop. And I knew, I try and get your attention because you're not stopping when you leave. What is he saying? You're not being diligent in your driving. You're not. So think about that. Come to a stop sign. I came up to a traffic light this week. Maybe it was last week. Going to your house, you know that it looks like it should be a yield, but it's not. There's a big white line there over in Maryland, and so I stopped there just off of Surratt's Road. I stopped, and the guy behind me beeped at me. He's red! The line says stop! And I came to a complete stop, and he beeped. Get going. Why? Because he's used to running. Doesn't want to be behind somebody who's stopping. Do you stop when you leave church parking lot? Neighbors are watching. Do you stop when you get down here at the road? Do you slow down when you see the yellow light? It's easy to say, this is good for judges, good for the preacher, good for a Sunday school teacher, good for the deacons, good for my parents, but not good for me. And you've taken Bible truth and you've just dismissed it and said, I don't have to be diligent in my studies, in my cleaning, in my as a student, as a parent, as a wife, as a husband, as a driver, and you miss it. The importance of Bible truth is walking out of here today and saying, am I diligent in everything that I do? We tend to dismiss it, Bible truth, and compartmentalize it and say this is good for them or them, but not good for me. So here's an illustration. David Monk, 46 years of age. You think by the time you get to 46, you would have learned a thing or two about diligent application of Bible principle. But for starters, he went out with some friends and they were skiing in Sals d'Or, Italy. I should have had you help me pronounce that. I know I just butchered that. And so they went out and they did a little drinking and after they got done drinking, David had this great idea, they're on the ski slopes, to go and cut off one of the protective mats on the big poles that the ski lift is attached to. And so they went out there and they cut the mat off. And then these four drunk guys walked up the hill, they flipped the mat upside down, and they used it as a sled. Now picture this. Four drunk guys on a mat sliding down the hill. And they hit the pole that they had taken the mat off of, and David died, 46 years of age. You know what he was not? He was not diligent. He was what? Well, we would say stupid he was. But he was DEAD, by the time the day was done. Why? Because he did not exercise diligence in his life, in making little decisions. And when you do that, you end up dead. Diligence. Diligence is a truth that could transform our life if we'd only apply it. Diligence in business. This is one of those, I'm just going to go over a huge list. Are you with me? To try to get you to think, I should be diligent in every area of my life, in business, working diligently, working consistently, working thoroughly, working down to the detail, diligence in the home, making your bed, cleaning your room, polishing your shoes, diligence in the classroom, studying, working, writing, reading, spelling, mathematics, diligence in duty as a worker, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a student, as a craftsman. Really, preacher? Making my bed? Herein lies the problem and the rub. We think diligence is only required in big decisions, but if you will not make your bed, then when it comes to make time to make the big decision, you're not going to do diligence in that either. Diligence in driving, speeding, rolling stops, drifting, texting. You are a disaster waiting to happen. How about this? Diligence in your Bible reading, your memory, your attendance, your prayer, your tithing. There are people that I talk to and skip a service. What's the big deal? This morning, it's Groundhog Day every year. Groundhog Day, there are certain people I send a message to. I haven't seen you in church in years. It's Groundhog Day. It's time to come out of your hole and get back to serving the Lord. You say, what did you do? Well, first of all, I scrolled back through my messages to last Groundhog Day and copied and pasted it back on Groundhog Day today and updated the language a little bit and send. Not diligent. And they wonder why they're not growing. People wonder why they're not growing spiritually. Diligence in the little things will cause a tendency to be diligent in the big things. Laziness, slothfulness in the little things will cause you to be lazy and slothful in the big things. Growing up, I loved everything flying. I'd get on my bike and ride to town. And I'd go to the library, a little library off of Main Street, no traffic light, no traffic. Go to the book section, the magazine section, and I'd go through alphabetically and go to the F and pull out the magazine on flying. Loved all things flying. I'd sit there and I would read that magazine about airplanes, what they were, how much they cost, how fast they flew, and the FAA, there was a crash, and typically the crash was a year ago or 2 years ago. What happened? You know what I found out in reading all those after-action reports from the FAA as a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old guy? It was pilot error almost every single time. Every once in a while, a bomb would go off, but most of the time, it was pilot error. They were not diligent in the little things. They got sloppy and didn't de-ice the plane, or they're going too fast, or flying too high, or flying too low, or going into a stall and dropping out of the sky. It was ignoring warning bells and whistles and things that went off. Say, why are you saying that? Well, yeah, seems like we had a problem over here in Washington this week. Say, preacher, what was the cause? Yeah, I don't know. It'd be a couple of years, and you get the Flying Magazine, and you'll look, and they'll print the after-action report. And I can tell you, there was probably error. Not enough people in the tower. Somebody not paying attention. Somebody ignoring a warning bell. Helicopter pilot flying too high. A plane that wasn't looking around. Collision bell goes off. Somebody said, I don't see anything. What a tragedy. We think the FAA ought to be held accountable. But what if it's going to turn out to be a mechanic who had a little alarm bell that went off And he thought, you know what? I'm not going to fix that. I'll get it next week because I want to go hang out with my friends. It might not be anybody's fault over here. It might be the guy that's working the line that wasn't diligent. When we are not diligent, people die. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us not to dismiss it with a broad stroke. And not just require that others are diligent, but that we would strive in our life, our area of responsibility, to be diligent. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're a Christian here this morning. You say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart about an area of my life that needs to be shored up. You pray for me? I need your prayer. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts. I pray that you'd help us to be diligent. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, pastor, pray for me. I do not know Christ. Slip your hand up. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Dan is playing on the piano. The altar is open. You want a preacher to pray for you? I'd be delighted to do that.